everybody. This is Again With This. Special, special, special. Today's episode is The Melrose Place Secondary Character Thunderdome. And now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and or Dave.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Thunderdome. We did this a few months ago with secondary characters from Beverly Hills 90210. We are back here to do the same with Melrose Place, to put people in hypothetical fights to death, see who emerges victorious. But first, Sarah, tell us what's coming next.
Next on our Patreon is Again With This episode 104, Were We Ever So Young, dropping July 15th. Let's watch Rob Estes in CSI Cyber.
Oh, let's do.
LOL. It is available for purchase in the usual places. But if you'd like to leave it to the professionals, we understand. We're watching season 2, episode 9, Eyewitness. Jesus. Great expectations.
I, lowercase I, witness, because it's CSI Cyber.
Nope.
I already watched this. It's wild how fast it is. I think it's...
Fucking Vanderpeek?
Yeah.
There's just a lot. There's a lot. We hope you will come along for the ride.
All right. Are you ready to enter the Thunderdome?
I don't know, but let's do it anyway.
Yeah. So what happened was we each submitted 9 Melrose Place characters who appeared in one or more episodes, but never as opening credits series regulars. So neither of us did this, but one of us could have put in Rob Estes as his season 1 character, Sam Towler, when he was just Michael's old friend who was hitting on Jane. That would have been fine. Kyle McBride, no, because he's in the credits. So we listed all these people. I randomized the list 10 times. Here is our first matchup. Reed Carter, played by James Wilder. Jess Hansen, played by Dan Cortez. Steve Microcomp McMillan, played by Parker Stevenson. Some of these have not been on the show for a while, so Sarah, remind the listeners who they are.
Okay, Reed Carter is the father of Joe's child, whom she killed in the hold of the boat. Remember the boat?
Killed Reed, not the child.
Yes.
Child lived.
No, yeah. No, the child lived. Jess Hansen is, of course, the guy who was in the Burger King heads. Just kidding. Jess Hansen is Jake's brother. Mm-hmm. Also no longer with us after they fell off a parking structure. I feel like that wasn't actually that long ago. But anyway, he was also a paramour of Joe's. Bad taste with that one right to the very end. And then, of course, Steve Microcomp McMillan, who I really only put in there because I very much enjoy hearing Tara say Microcomp. Who was the Steve Phobes from season 1 who had a thing with Allison that kind of didn't go anywhere. Sigh.
Yeah. And Joe was horny for him as well.
Oh, yeah.
They both went after him. But back to Jess for just a second. You said it seems like it wasn't that long ago. That was the season 3 finale when he died.
Oh, my God.
It was a long time ago.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was during the pandemic. Season 5.
But yeah. That can still
be a long
time ago.
It's been going on since the 70s.
Yeah. That's right. All right.
I submitted all of these, but I didn't expect them to end up together. The list has been randomized extensively, as you know. I believe that old Microcomp can be eliminated immediately just based on the way that he wears a dad cap. This is not somebody who is going to fight. Jess Hansen and Reed Carter, this is a very close matchup. These are both criminals who are used to getting into it. I feel like maybe Jess is better hand to hand, but Reed did time, and probably is wilier and has better defense for that reason. Mm-hmm. Just like for the length of his incarceration, he had to be on guard all the time. So, but then on the other hand, Jess Hansen is, I think, significantly larger physically. Mm-hmm. than Reed. So I'm not sure where I come out on this. But I think that Jess is actually natively meaner and more of a dick. And I think that counts. So I think it's Jess. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you that Steve is not a factor. He is a nerd. He's going to be cowering in a corner. They're just going to rip him fully in half, and that'll be the end of Steve.
And beat each other with his legs,
yes, exactly.
That's Thunderdome for you.
So, goodbye to my ground comp. The other thing that both Reed and Jess have in common is they both were Joe love interests that turned out to be real bad guys. I don't recall Reed ever putting his hands on Joe directly. He did threaten her a lot, including with weapons. This is not just, both of them are abuse. I'm not trying to say one is less bad than the other. They're both bad. And the worst of all is Joe's picker, shall we say. The fact that Jess, I mean, he really, it happens off screen, but we see the aftermath after he has like just gone in on Joe. And I feel like I agree with you that he has bigger size, but I just have a feeling that a guy who is going to be physical with women that way is going to shrink in a fight with a man. Just a feeling I get. So I'm going to give this one to Reed. I think that the, you know, getting through incarceration alive on the other side is not nothing.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I will then change to Reed because it was very close for me. And I think Reed was like willing to just throw her in the hold and leave her there. So there is a certain mercilessness that we're looking for that Reed does possess. So, and also Reed's mother was a gun.
She was
championship
a
bitch. So he's got it in the genes. And so, yeah, I'm comfortable with Reed progressing to the next round.
All right. Our next matchup is Maureen Dodd, played by Mackenzie Phillips, Lauren Etheridge, played by Christian Alfonso, and Walter, played by Phil Morris. This once again shook out that these all were mine. The randomizer, it's real random, and sometimes it's not the random at all. Maureen was one of the fellow boot campers at No More Victims camp that Kimberly went to. She was the one who had the biggest problem with Kimberly. And was the one who was played by Mackenzie Phillips. You know who she is. Lauren Etheridge was the person who was running the call girl agency that Sydney was briefly associated with and took over when Lauren was in jail for a time. And then Walter, we've been talking about him lately. You know who Walter is. He's Carter Gallivan's aide-de-camp. He's his body man. So how is this going to go? All we've seen Walter do is grab arms, which, again, that's not nothing. Lauren, I think, is... I do think that she would be up for a fight, but I think she is more skilled in, let's say, you know, psychological warfare, more so than hand-to-hand combat. I think that she has skills, but I don't necessarily think she wants to get in there and ruin, you know, her nails, the moneymaker, her beautiful face. I got to give this one to Maureen. Even though she did not best Kimberly at No More Victims Camp, I mean, Kimberly broke the drill instructor's arm, I believe, if I'm recalling that correctly. Like, Kimberly at that time was not messing around in terms of violence. But Maureen, I think, stepped to her the most of all of them. And she's the only one we've seen doing, like, real physical stuff. So I'm going to give this to Maureen.
I think Maureen is a wild card because in a fight, you should not bet against crazy. Don't bet against PCP. Don't bet against crazy. That said, I think Walter is out of this. I think Walter is more about paying problems to go away. That does not work in Thunderdome.
No.
He does have superior size, but I think he would stop at the arm grab slash arm hold. I don't think he's going to take it any further against ladies. Lauren, I think, is a stiletto in stilettos. I think she has ice water in the veins. I think she is used to, as my uncle once told me, may he rest, and he should know because he was in enough fights in his life, every fight is over before it starts. The demonstrated willingness to get into it, if you sort of project that intimidation and like, okay, we're going to fight, that's how it is. And I think she does that. And as like, I respect your vote for Maureen, but I just think that that crazy is like a little too chaotic. I would also put Lauren up against Kimberly, frankly. I'm not sure she would win, but she would come a lot closer than most people. So my vote is for Lauren.
Well, we have to pick one. So let me just counter with this. When shit had to go down, when Lauren had to exert her will over Sydney, she did have hired goons. She had henchmen. So that was another time when she could have potentially gotten physical with Sydney herself, but she didn't. She, you know, granted that was in the comforts of LA, not in Thunderdome, but I do think it's worth noting that she outsourced that part of her job to others.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that says anything about, I'm not sure that says as much about her unwillingness to do that part of the job as it does her ability to sort of rise through an organizational hierarchy such that she no longer has to do that part of the job.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you Reed, but I think Maureen just blows up on the launch pad. I got to tell you, I'm not backing down on this.
Okay. I accept that. Lauren goes through to the next round. Next up, we have Caitlin Mills, played by Jasmine Guy, Bobby Parisi, played by John Enos III, and Julie Newmar, played by Julie Newmar. Caitlin is an ex of Peter's that he brings in to boss Amanda around at D&D, basically, during the brief period when Peter was part of a consortium of doctors that bought it. And then we never really heard anything much about that later.
Bobby Parisi is, of course, the brother and long lost love of the brother of Jack Parisi, Amanda's ex-husband, or I guess estranged husband, technically. I guess they didn't get divorced because she faked her own death. And he's also a four-bedroom condominium.
Julie Newmar, as herself, was only in one episode. She was a client that Billy tried to and successfully did lure away from another agency at a conference. But you may know her best as one of the cat women from Batman 66. She is an older lady at this point in her life, but she is very tall.
She is very tall, and she does have that soupçon of crazy that I was talking about before. But I don't think that she is a part of this conversation. I'm not sure she even knows where she is. So I think she is eliminated fairly quickly. Because Caitlin Mills is not fucking around, and Bobby Parisi has his own congressman for his suit jacket. So what is going to become of, I mean, what was he in the Navy?
Yeah.
He served in the armed forces, Bobby Parisi.
Yeah.
He's from an organized crime family.
He sure is.
And, there is a Starbucks in his left boot. So superior size is what I'm saying. But Caitlin Mills, I don't think Bobby Parisi will go there. I have no doubt Caitlin Mills will go there with whatever means necessary. And I don't think his building status matters. So I am voting Caitlin Mills.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like it's going to be like a cartoon of, you know, the end of Jack and the Beanstalk, where she's just running all the way around him to stitch him up until he just falls over like a tree in the forest. And she progresses because she's tiny, but she's got speed. And also Jasmine Guy, trained Broadway dancer. So she has a lot more, I think, probably mobility and flexibility than John Enos III has.
Stamina, core mm-hmm. strength. Exactly. And I suspect could light things on fire with her mind,
yeah.
including buildings.
All right, our next matchup, Ricky Abbott, played by Tracy Lords, Chris Marchette, played by Andrew Williams, and Arthur Field, played by Michael Debeer. Ricky is the friend of Sydney's who basically jumps her into a cult.
Yep. Chris Marchette is my hero. I have a tattoo of his face on my actual face. Just kidding. Chris was Jane's love interest who, like, absconded with a bunch of her money from Las Vegas. And then that was the last we ever heard of it. So now he's yeah. just a running gag mm-hmm. on our podcast. And Arthur Field is the, in our timeline, recently departed father of Craig and boss of slash sexual harasser of Amanda.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, Arthur died of a heart attack, so I'm going to say he is not up for this battle. He's also so short. That man is teeny tiny.
Is, yes.
He is. He's wee.
Pocket size.
That's right. So he is out of this. Now it comes down to ruthless cult recruiter mm-hmm. versus, I mean, you know, Houdini. Like,
yeah. yes. where versus... is Chris... D.B. Cooper on land.
That's yeah. right. Is Chris going to win this fight so much as he's just going to, you know, evaporate Oof. From it? I have to give this to Ricky for that reason. I think Chris lives to fight another day, but we don't see it. It's not through victory in the Thunderdome because he just, I mean, maybe he burrows out from under it. I mean, Thunderdome is in Australia. That's where he's from. So he yeah. has a geographical advantage in terms of knowing, you know, where to go once he's out of the dome. So I'm giving it to Ricky, but I don't actually think Chris is dead.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Thunderdome. Like, yeah. you have to defeat your opponents, not just live. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you that he will turn himself into some kind of tumbleweed and depart. Or just yell bat and then yeah. that's it. And this is why we love him and continue to make jokes about him that aren't really jokes.
No.
Like there's
Where I mean, is he?
Pages of fanfic. Where is he? We don't know.
It
is a soap opera. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I give Arthur Field slightly more credit than you do, but Tracy Lords projects an a survivor energy that mm-hmm. I think is perfectly suited for this. So yeah. I agree that it's Ricky. Also, she's a cult recruiter. Like, it's twisted, but there's a certain toughness to it.
Yeah, it's true. All right, next we have Zach Phillips, played by Brian Bloom, Terry Parsons, played by David James Elliott, and Dr. Irene Shillman, played by Dae Young. Zach was another Allison love interest when she was... really drinking a lot. He was associated in some way with the record industry. I think he had clients.
Yeah, he was
like
a R&D guy or, A&R. Or a lot A&R. Of silver rings.
Yeah. yeah, he was a thumb ring guy. That's kind of all you need to know about
he
him.
He was a thumb ring guy. That's ring exactly guy. It. Terry Parsons was Allison's retired NFL or like on a break from the NFL rehab trick.
Yeah.
Played by JAG, David mm-hmm. James Elliott.
That's right.
And Dr. Irene Shillman is the chief resident?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
She's in charge of Matt.
Wilshire Memorial, who is in charge of Matt and really not having anyone's shit who lives or has ever lived at the Melrose Complex. She's played by Dae Young. Zach is out of it because he's drunk.
Drunk if you're lucky. I mean, I think yeah. I think we did powder as well.
I think, well, all right, well, that actually changes the, conversation
No,
slightly.
I don't think, it might not have been coke, because remember when they snuck away to Santa Barbara or whatever, he like passed out before they could have sex. So whatever he's doing, it's downers.
It's not, it's a downer. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Because I was like, meth. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, meth, it could go either way. Like, he has a ton of energy and focus, but also he may weigh 97 pounds at this point. Mm-hmm. I do think that his substance misuse disorder means that he is not a factor in this. So you're down to Terry Parsons, a professional athlete who is also kind of a building.
Yeah.
And Dr. Shulman, who is a medical professional and not hearing it.
Yeah.
I think she is more ruthless. And if she sneaks a scalpel into Thunderdome, it's all over for our boy's hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
She has also been putting up with illegal shenanigans from various members of the credits cast for a while.
Yeah.
And she's managed to keep her cool. I mean, Jag is a big dude, but he's kind of like a lovable oaf dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Dr. Shulman can cut his Achilles, then it's curtains for him and Zach. So I'm going to say, Dr. Shulman, what do you think?
Yeah, this is not how I thought it was going to go going into it, but you've definitely convinced me. I agree with you about Zach. And the thing about Terry is by the time we meet him, he is on like the downslope of his career,
mm-hmm.
not only because
yeah.
he's coming out of rehab and I believe we're given to understand not for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes into this game, which Allison travels with him to some big like playoff game in Las Vegas, and he fucks it up. So he's like, even in terms of like what he's supposed to do with his body professionally, like he doesn't have the kind of control and discipline that he did.
Right.
Presumably.
And also, he's probably taken some helmet on helmet hits.
That's
like
right.
Like it or not. So there's also possible CTE to contend with.
Yeah. I think even without a scalpel, Dr. Shulman knows pressure points. I think she's going to be very calculating in terms of how to work smarter, not harder in Thunderdome.
Yep. Agreed.
To just strike him in the right four acupressure points on his body to just, good night, nurse.
And as it were. And plus, he is used to being padded up, and he
yeah.
will not, I assume, have that advantage
yep.
to work with.
All right, here's our final matchup of this round. We've got Jeffrey Lindley, played by Jason Behe. Did we ever decide how you say that dude's name?
I don't think so.
Chicago PD's own Jason B.
Yeah.
Valerie Madison, played by Jerry Ryan, and Dr. Paul Graham, played by David Beecroft. Jeffrey is Matt's first major love interest from the show. He was also in the armed forces and not out at first when we knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Then Valerie Madison, another person in a Matt storyline, but she was a soap star who was serving as a beard to Matt's boyfriend, Alan, who was on the show with her.
And who can forget Dr. Paul, who framed Matt for the murder of Mrs. Dr. Paul. It's weird that like the first matchup was mostly like Joe love interests, and these
mm-hmm.
are all, this is like the Matt storyline
yeah.
subplot sub-basement.
It's true. It's weird.
As we used to say. All right, start us off, because I am baffled by this one, I will tell you frankly.
Okay. Jeffrey presumably has some hand-to-hand combat training from being in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Val may have staged combat training because she's an actor.
Fight call, sure.
Yeah, and later, you know, now we see Jerry Ryan. She's like an action star on Picard and what have you. She, you know, went on to be mm-hmm. Seven of Nine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul is a literal murderer. Like,
yeah.
Paul killed someone already. This is not in question. He's already got a track record.
Yeah.
And he's also got the size advantage over Jeffrey as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Val really necessarily fares very well against these two. I don't think she's a factor in this fight. And I think Paul, not just ruthless in terms of like he killed someone, but he had a long plan
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah.
So he's smart, and he's also like doesn't give a fuck. Like he wants to get whatever he wants to put his will over in this world by whatever means necessary, and no matter who gets in his way, whether that means finding some poor, lonely gay guy at his hospital to like entrap and make fall in love with him and then use as the fall guy for murdering his wife. So I'm going to say Paul.
Yeah, you've convinced me. He's bigger. Jeffrey is in the conversation briefly, but he's more of a sulker than a fighter. I feel like he is a little squishy when it comes to conflict, at least in his own life and like obstacles in his own personal life. Mm-hmm. And neither of the other two are sociopaths as far as we know. And
that's right.
That will take you far because you're not afraid of pain. And Dr. Paul, yeah, Dr. Paul is a schemer and a long conner and a killer. Mm-hmm. And not sorry. So
here are the names advancing to the next round. Reed Carter, Lauren Etheridge, Caitlin Mills, Ricky Abbott, Dr. Irene Schulman, and Dr. Paul Graham. Two doctors going through. We love to see it. Mm-hmm. Our healthcare heroes progressing in Thunderdome. All right, let's do our semifinal rounds. It's going to be Reed versus Lauren versus Caitlin. Sarah.
Neither Lauren nor Maureen would have survived this round, so I don't feel bad advocating for Lauren, but she's out. So it's Caitlin, who can destroy with her mind, and Reed, who was an incarcerated person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The only thing I know is that Lauren is out of it. So why don't you make your case for who you think survives, and then I will see how I feel.
I mean, I'll say this, not to complicate things further, but Reed and Caitlin were both taken down by Melrosians, and Lauren was not. I mean, I don't think Lauren is necessarily thriving wherever she is in the timeline. But she was not really bested by Sydney exactly. She ended up getting her own back once she was out on bail.
Yeah.
So
true.
That's not that we shouldn't forget that. But she also didn't try to kill anyone or take anyone's business or steal a boat. I don't know. I feel like Reed versus Caitlin. I think Caitlin has more of a plan. And I think, I mean, Reed, we saw he had a plan too, but it was not a great one. And I think she is going to be better prepared to go against his, like, just bumbling chaos energy than the other way around. I'm going to give this one to Caitlin.
Mm. I mean, I don't think he's as much of a bumbler as you do, but I still agree with you that Caitlin is, I think, like more unflappable and better focused, and that will make a big difference. So I'm going to agree that Caitlin moves on.
I mean, Reed was killed by Joe. She could not even keep her own child from being kidnapped. Like,
yeah, true.
You know, by the transitive power. All right, next it's going to be Ricky versus Dr. Schulman versus Dr. Graham, aka Paul. Do the doctors cancel each other out? I don't know. I feel like they don't necessarily have the same skill set despite having the same job. I think they bring different strengths to the Thunderdome.
Agree.
I don't think Ricky is necessarily up to a battle against either of them. Although she did put Sydney in a hole or abetted that being done. I still think I gotta give it to Paul. He's the only known murderer on this list.
I mean, yeah. I don't think Dr. Schulman is in the conversation, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't think she would have the opportunity to cancel Paul out because I think that she is impatient with credits cast nonsense, but within ethical and, you know, felony statute guidelines to be so. And she's not a sociopath and she's not taking orders from cult people / able to command cult people.
Right.
Now, I guess how well you think Ricky does versus an antisocial personality depends on whether you think the power of Xenu is compelling her within copyright compliant guidelines.
Sure, sure.
I think that she, even if she is that ruthless and single-minded about the cult's goals as her own goals,
right,
she is smaller and not as bad.
Yeah.
And if the worse a person you are, the better you do in Thunderdome, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
Dr. Paul.
I mean, he's got those mitts, right? He's just going to pick her up by that blonde hair and just swing her around and chuck her away. You know,
yeah.
I don't think she, despite the Xenu power, has the power it takes to bring him down. So,
nope, I don't think so. Turl can't help her.
Paul victorious. So that brings us to our very final matchup. Oh my God. Caitlin v. Paul. I got to start, right? Ooh.
I think actually I have to start this time.
Okay.
This is tough. We've just talked about Paul's strengths being kind of an antisocial sociopath terror. I don't think Caitlin is unaccustomed to that personality type. I don't think she's unused to having to counter it.
Yeah.
I don't think she would necessarily be as afraid of it or respectful of it as you or I might be.
Mm-hmm.
But she is still tiny. Like, there's core strength, and then there's fucking Dr. Paul Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Who killed someone.
Yeah.
And was, I mean, just cheerfully lied about it. And it almost worked. It actually probably should have worked. Matt is kind of a stoop sometimes. So
it's true. And if I assume part of his plan that did not go off was that for Matt to be discovered in the house and shot by cops.
Yes. And I think we talked about that on the podcast. Like,
yes.
That is like 4 degrees Kelvin cold shit. And yes, Caitlin Mills does strike me as someone who goes in with a plan and is focused on execution.
Yeah.
But so is Paul Graham. And by execution, he means you are getting executed.
Exactly.
So I have to say, Paul, criminal mastermind.
I do too. And this is not the way I wanted it to go down necessarily,
no.
But I do. I don't think she makes it easy for him. I think he's got to fight for it.
The next time he does this, he's got an eye patch and like a, at least, and like a parrot.
Uh-huh. But.
But yeah, it's just.
But he's a big guy. He's got big plans. He's surely got other people to kill once he gets out of Thunderdome.
Yeah. And I don't think he died, right? I mean,
yes,
but did he?
He did. He died on the show. So did Reed.
So
did Jess.
Here's what happens. He claws his way above ground and surfaces. And he's like, where am I? And there's a blinking neon sign. Halfway cafe.
And that's when he sees Chris and learns his secrets for how to escape Thunderdome should he ever find himself there again.
What's today's special? Chicken tonight.
Well, congratulations to Dr. Paul Graham, a terrible person who bested effectively 17 comers
indeed
to triumph in the Thunderdome.
Hello, Sarah.
Oh,
hello, hi,
Dave.
Sarah. Hi.
Hi, Dave. Hi.
Hello, Tara.
Hi.